And I'd like us to just dwell or go into the Word of God in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 from verse 14. 2 Chronicles from chapter 36. So I'll request media team to project the New Living Translation. And all the other scriptures after that shall be NIV. And the scripture says, likewise, all the leaders of the priests and the people became more and more unfaithful. They followed all the pagan practices of the surrounding nations, discrediting the temple of the Lord that had been consecrated in Jerusalem. The Lord, the God of their ancestors, repeatedly sent his prophets to warn them, for he had compassion on his people and his temple. But the people mocked these messengers of God and despised their words. They scoffed at the prophets until the Lord's anger could no longer be restrained and nothing could be done. Verse 17. So the Lord brought the king of Babylon against them. The Babylonians killed Judah's young men, even chasing after them into the temple. They had no pity on the people, killing both young men and young women, the old and the infirm. God handed all of them over to Nebuchadnezzar. The king took home to Babylon all the articles, large and small, used in the temple of God, and the treasurers from both the Lord's temple and from the palace of the king and his officials. Then his army burned the temple of the Lord, burned the temple of God, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, burned all the palaces, and completely destroyed everything of value. The few who survived were taken as exiles to Babylon, and they became servants to the king and his sons until the kingdom of Persia came to power. So the message of the Lord, spoken through Jeremiah, was fulfilled. The land finally enjoyed its Sabbath rest, lying desolate until the 70 years were fulfilled, just as the prophet had said. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. And as we partake of it, I pray, may you minister to our hearts. Your word is sharper than a double-edged sword, cutting through bone and marrow, cutting through the intentions of the hearts, O God. I pray that even as we listen to your word this morning, King of glory, may you minister to the needs of our hearts, to the needs, O God, in our lives, and to what you intend us to do, O God, in your house, for the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Allow me to just share the word of God. And we are covering the topic, discovering your mandate in the Lord's house. Discovering your mandate in the Lord's house. Allow me to take a sip of water. So maybe just to give a bit of context of the scripture that we've just read, which is in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. If you look through scripture, it is the same story that is also written in the book of Jeremiah chapter 52. And equally, the same record is written in the book of 2 Kings chapter 25. One of the things I find amazing about scripture, and specifically the Bible, you cannot compare it with any other kind of religious writings in the world. Do you know why? Because in other writings, there are a lot of inconsistencies. But in scripture, it has been written by different people over different periods of time, yet they record the same thing. And that's why I've had to capture that the same story is written in Jeremiah chapter 52 and equally in 2 Kings chapter 25. And of course, the story that we've just read is the story of the children of Israel. And what happened is this. Of course, there are transitions of kings from Saul, the first king, the second king, David. Then David begets Solomon, who becomes the king. Then, of course, after a few years, as the Lord had told David that his kingdom will be divided. The kingdom of Israel was divided into two. So we have Israel on one side, or the northern kingdom, and Judah on the other side, which is the southern kingdom. And the children of Israel, or the people of Israel, sinned against God. They decided to worship other idols. They did what was evil before the Lord. And that's where now this context comes in. That as much as the Lord sent them prophets, they could even scorn them. They didn't listen to them. And at this point, God decides to take action against Israel because they had sinned against God. And so, in the time of the reign of King Zedekiah, now from the story that we've just read in Jeremiah chapter 52, when King Zedekiah had become king for around 9 years, the kingdom was besieged. And they were surrounded by the Babylonian kingdom. And the king of the Babylonian kingdom, of course, at the time, was King Nebuchadnezzar. The interesting bit is how this unfolds. King Zedekiah, yes, is a king for 11 years. But out of the 11, the last 2 years, they are actually under siege. Or do they say under siege? So the city has been surrounded by the armies of King Nebuchadnezzar, and they have nowhere to go. And of course, scripture says after 2 years, there began a famine. Because as you all know, how much stock of food can you have at home to sustain you for just how long? How long? I know what we are Western size, we are harvesting maize. If you'd keep maize in your house, it would sustain you for how long? For food, for your family. Yet it looked like these guys had stocks of food that lasted them for 2 years. After the lapse of 2 years, people could not bear it anymore. Others decided to start, you know, running away through the walls and trying to find routes. But eventually they could not get anywhere. Why? Because the city was surrounded all over. By the king Nebuchadnezzar. And so in Jeremiah chapter 52 from verse 12 to 15, one thing I like about this is in Jeremiah it describes in details what happened. Yeah, Jeremiah 52 from verse 12 to 15, the Bible says, "And on the 10th day of the 5th month, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the commander of the imperial guard, who served the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every important building he burnt down. The whole Babylonian army, under the command of the imperial guard, broke down all the walls around Jerusalem, and Nezerubudanan, the commander of the guard, carried into exile some of the poorest people of those who remained in the city, along with the rest of the craftsmen and those who had deserted to the king of Babylon." Now, I want us to fast forward. Remember, Jeremiah prophesied that the children of Israel will be in exile for 70 years. Now, the 70 years lapse. And after these 70 years, I'd like us to just pick a few lessons some men of God that took up particular mandates to actually restore and reestablish Israel. Praise the name of Jesus. And in Daniel chapter 9 from verse 1 to 2, this is the first mandate. The men of the understanding of the word. The men of the understanding of the word. Now, Daniel chapter 9 from verse 1 to 2. And the Bible says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Success, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years." As we look at discovering our mandates in the Lord house, the amazing thing that you see here is everyone else was living along their lives as they were in exile.
And they were okay. They had even forgotten about it. Of course, at some point, there are prophets who came telling them, you know, don't worry, we will get out of this exile very soon. Yet they had not even covered half the period that God had said they would be in exile. But look at what happens. In Daniel chapter 9, he says that through reading scripture, through understanding from the prophecy that was written, he understood that actually Israel had covered the 70 years in exile and therefore they need to exit. Praise the name of Jesus. I pray that in our midst would have the men of the understanding of the word of God. Amen? That when we go deep into the scriptures of God, that we'll be able to get the direction that God wants for his people. Praise the name of Jesus. Number two, prayerful men and women of God. Amen? Daniel chapter 9 verse 3. And the Bible says, so I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and in ashes. Daniel did not just discover from the word that the period is supposed to end and go around, you know, romamongering, unajua 70 years imeisha. Unajua 70 years imeisha. No. He was serving in the king's presence. But look at what he does. After reading and understanding, he goes on his knees to pray. Praise the name of Jesus. We've been called this week to be a week of prayer. Praise the Lord. Do we have powerful, prayerful men of God in our midst who will call upon the heavens for the sake of our nation? Praise the name of Jesus. Do we have prayerful, powerful men and women of God in our midst who will call upon the heavens for the sake of our church? Praise the name of Jesus. And look at what this content of this prayer has. From verse 4 to 19, it's a prayer of repentance. Because they were not just being sent into exile as part of history. No, it's because they sinned against God. And it is out of that that Daniel, in his prayer from verse 4 to 19 of chapter 9 of Daniel, there is repentance. He details everything that the children of Israel did against God for them to be sent into exile. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, this is the amazing part of this story. Verse 23, you can project for us verse 23. If you have your Bible, you can read there. Immediately, Daniel finishes his prayer. The prayer is answered on the spot. Verse 23 of chapter 9 of Daniel, the Bible says, as soon as you began to pray, this is the angel who brings the message. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. And he goes to receive the prophecy of the Messiah. What was he praying for? He was praying for the exiles of Israel to be released from captivity. Actually, in verse 22, if you look at it, I don't know which, depending on the version that you have, the scripture says, and the angel came swiftly. Have you ever met someone on a corner who is running? Yeah, and they are trying to break. That's the kind of speed that the angel was bringing this message to him. Yeah, because that scripture, it says, and the angel came swiftly and he gave him this message. The message that he received was not just for the exiles. Praise the name of Jesus. It was for eternity. Because the message that he's given, it's not about anything to do with the exiles. From verse 24, it actually talks about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. I pray that as we spend time in the Lord's presence this week, praise the name of Jesus, that we would receive a word that will not just impact ourselves in our time and day, but even to the generations after us. Praise the name of Jesus. Even to our children and beyond. Praise the name of Jesus. And to the children and beyond. Why? Because when the Lord delivers that message, it's not too selfish to give it to you for just a time as this and now and for you only, but for his church. Praise the name of Jesus. I pray that as you seek to discover your mandate in the Lord's house, that you will choose to be among those prayerful men and women of God. Praise the name of Jesus. The next mandate is the wall rebuilders. The wall rebuilders. I call them the restorers of covering. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. Kindly create time and just look and read through that story in the book of Nehemiah. Start from chapter 1 all the way. What happens is, of course, Nehemiah also, through reading scripture and understanding, he discovers that the 70 years that God had mentioned the children of Israel will be in exile has come to an end. And this is also what he does in chapter 1. The same way as Daniel, he went down to pray. Praise the name of Jesus. Not only that, he also rose in chapter 2 to take action on the same. Yes, the period of exile has ended. Then what? Nehemiah was among those in the among those of the loyal families from the Israelites that were serving before the king. And in chapter 2, the Bible says that when he went to serve before the king noticed, hey, this guy does not look as jovial as he usually is. So as he was handing over the wine to the king asks him, your face looks different. You look sad. Why are you sad? And he says, how can I rejoice while Jerusalem rise in ruins? How can I rejoice while the walls of Jerusalem rise in ruins? In our midst, in our careers, in our places of work, God has placed us in privileged positions. I don't know how many among us we've taken advantage of that privileged position to advance the kingdom matters. I don't know. I might not have a profile of where all of us work, but some of us interact with the powers that be in this land. Some of us interact with businessmen that run this country, that run this city. Yet, have we taken an opportunity to present an opportunity for the advancement of the kingdom of God in that kind of a way like Nehemiah did? Nehemiah was a man in high places. He was serving before the king. And just by the king noting that the guy's face is sad, he asked him, so what's up? And the guy had prepared himself. Praise the name of Jesus. I pray that as we serve in those places, may we meet those opportunities and that we are ready for those opportunities that we may run with them. Praise the Lord. That when that opportunity arises, we don't start fumbling, oh, let me go back and come back to you. No. When he was asked, so what can I do? He asked for resources. He asked for armies. He asked for protection so that he may go and rebuild the walls. Praise the name of Jesus. I pray that as God has put you in that opportunity, that you can be able to approach that powerful man of God. Oh, that big businessman. We are talking about a fundraiser, are we not? Why don't you take that opportunity and do so? Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 58 verse 12, scripture talks about the builders. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the broken walls, the restorer of streets with dwellings. Praise the name of Jesus. We've just moved from, you know, a place that it was so nice and comfortable at Hazina, yeah? And we've landed here. You can almost, in other places, you can't tell what the direction is. But have you challenged yourself to make a difference in this place that we are seated in? Have you challenged yourself perhaps to say, I've noted there is this need in the church and I can actually be able to address such. Praise the name of Jesus. It is not everything that you have to give here that has to be money. No. Are you a skilled laborer? There are construction works ongoing in this place every other time. Yeah? But have you offered your skill to be used in the service of the Lord? Praise the name of Jesus. Some of you offer outside catering. Oh, I should not mention names. Yeah? We eat very nice mandazis after service and the tea. Have you ever thought of offering that as a service in the presence of the Lord, in the house of the Lord? Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Nasikia amen zimepungua sasa, hata sauti imeisha. Because for you to actually be able to go and serve before the king, for you to be able to give, to be given that tender to go and serve, you know, the cabinet or the president or the powers that be. Recently, we've been hosting a lot of conferences. For you to get an opportunity to go and serve there, the Lord's people must have enjoyed that service in the first place. For it to say now, if it is good for the Lord's people, it can therefore be exported. Praise the Lord. Mandate number four, the temple builders. Remember, scripture that we've just read, it has mentioned that the walls were broken down, yeah? Secondly, the what? The temple of God was destroyed. In fact, it was burned and there was nothing in existence. And I love these two men of God, Zerubbabel and Yeshua. In Ezra chapter 3 from verse 8, scripture says, in the second month, in the second year after the arrival at the house of God in Jerusalem, Zerubbabel son of Shealtiel, Joshua son of Jozadak, and the rest of the people, in bracket, the priests, the Levites, and all who had turned from captivity to Jerusalem, began the work. They appointed Levites, 20 years old and older, to supervise the building of the house of the Lord. Verse 10, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with the cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by King David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving they sang to the Lord, he is good, his love toward Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Praise the name of Jesus. We are looking at two men that took up the mantle. As Nehemiah was working on the walls, someone felt, they are doing a great job, but what else can I do? And they saw that the Lord's house was laying in ruins. And they went and mobilized everyone. You know, come together. Let us build the house of the Lord. Do you know what? There are prophets in this time that told them, it is not yet time. This guy that just settled back from coming from exile. In fact, some of them had built very nice houses for themselves. You can imagine. Yeah? They had built very nice houses for themselves. I don't know why the Lord has brought this in my mind, but one of the things I remember very vividly in 2007, post-election violence, is that for me and my family, we were highly affected because we were in the rift and it was chaotic. And I used to walk around with an ID that was written IDP. That is internally displaced persons. At some point, we stayed in tents for some time, but eventually God was able to settle us back. And I'm trying to think and look at the situation that we are looking at here with the children of Israel. Perhaps that is the same situation they were in. Having come from exile, having come from a situation where there is discomfort, the only thing you can think or imagine of is to put yourself at a place where you'd say, unasikia ile tunasema siku hizi kupigia mwili pole. Yeah? That's the place that these guys had gone into. In fact, the prophets were saying, no, it is not yet time. Let us not build the house of the Lord. Not yet. Let's wait. Praise the name of Jesus. But now, after they established this foundation that we've just looked at, in Ezra chapter 4, that whole work is stopped. Because there are men who went to the king and said, hey, do you know what? The exiles, they are already building the house of God. Do you know what they'll do? They will rebel against you. And the king sent command and a letter to halt
the building of the temple of the Lord. Ezra chapter 4, verse 21 to 23, the Bible says, the building of the temple was halted by King Artaxerxes. Now, issue an order to these men to stop work, so that this city will not be rebuilt until I saw order. So, be careful not to neglect this matter. Why let this threat grow to detriment the royal interests? The exiles were interested in still keeping these guys in captivity. Yet they didn't understand that it's actually God who gave them power over Israel for that period of 70 years. And verse 23 says, as soon as the copy of the letter of King Artaxerxes was read to Rehum and Shehanai, the secretary and their associates, they went immediately to the Jews in Jerusalem and compelled them to stop. Compelled them to stop. There are some of the things that when God has intended and purposed for it to happen, it does not matter what power that be on this earth. Praise the name of Jesus. Whether be it political power, whether be it spiritual power that will be able to stop the purposes of God. Praise the name of Jesus. But now look at this point. This is now where we go to the next mandate. They encourage us. Praise the name of Jesus. They encourage us. The interesting bit as we go to the encouragers is that as the temple was being stopped at foundation, also the walls, there were a lot of efforts that were being put to stop the rebuilding of the wall. And that is in Nehemiah chapter 4 from verse 1 to 6, where Sanballat and Tobias are trying to frustrate all the efforts to rebuild the walls. And in verse 2 to 3, they even ridiculed that wall, just in a way to discourage these guys. Yeah? If you look at the last verse that we just read when we were starting, the Bible was saying when the exiles were taken, who are the people that were left? It talks about the poorest and the most weak. Those are the ones that were left there. Yet those are the people that God used to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Praise the name of Jesus. Are you here and you're feeling, you know, I may not have all this money to rebuild the house of God, or to even give in the fundraiser? Are you here and you're feeling, you know, I'm too weak, hiyo ni kazi ya kina George, you know? Wacha wao watafute wale mabazu ndio watuletee dom. In that same place where you are at, God can still use you to restore his house. Praise the name of Jesus. And as these guys were being discouraged, Nehemiah was being discouraged to rebuild the walls. Zerubbabel, together with Yeshua, they were being Joshua, together with Joshua, they were being discouraged from the building the house of God. This is what happens. God sends encouragers. Praise the name of Jesus. Are you an encourager in this house? Ama ni wale tukisema, you know, we need 180 million, unasema, we? Haggai chapter 2, verse 4. Haggai is given a message. These are among those that are considered as the minor prophets. And these encouragers were two, Haggai and Zechariah. And Haggai chapter 2, verse 4 says, this is the message that God gave to Haggai to give to Zerubbabel. But now be strong, Zerubbabel. Tell your neighbor, be strong. Declares the Lord, be strong, Yeshua, son of Zahadak, the high priest. Tell your neighbor, be strong. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you. Tell your neighbor, the Lord is with you. In this journey, we all need encouragers. There are a lot of discouragements. Can you imagine, after all those efforts, if you look at the book of Nehemiah, there are around 3 or 2 chapters where he takes time to just go and inspect the walls of Jerusalem. Then after trying to rebuild it, someone comes and says, "Hii ukutati mnajenga? Hai, this one mbweha akikuja akiruka hii kitu imeanguka chini. Would you go back and build?" Tell your neighbor you need encouragers. And the same message was also given to Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 4 from verse 1, 6 to 10. And so, verse 6, it says, so, can you just project verse 1 first? Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. Okay. Aya, computer imehang. I have backup anyway. Yeah? So, God sends Haggai to be an encouragement to Zerubbabel and Joshua. Not only that, he also sent another reinforcement to just encourage him more. And that is Zechariah. And that's the scripture that I was trying to get at, which is Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1, and then you skip to verse 6 to 10. And the Bible says from verse 6, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Verse 7, where are you mighty mountains before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. Then we will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it. Then the word of the Lord came to me and it said, the hands of the Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the temple. You remember the foundation has just been laid by Zerubbabel? Yet they were stopped. But this is the message that now comes to encourage Zerubbabel. And he tells him, the very hands that build the foundation of this temple, his hands will also complete it. Praise the name of Jesus. Some of you got into salvation in times that you are not even sure if you ever will be able to make it to remain born again. In fact, there are people who even gave you deadlines. Wakasema, we tunakupatia wiki mbili. Some of us were given days, in fact. Yet here we are. Years on, the Lord has been faithful. Praise the name of Jesus. Tell your neighbor your hands. Tell your neighbor your hands that laid the foundation of this house shall also complete it. And the verse 10, the Bible says, who dares despise the day of small beginnings? Who dares despise the days of small beginnings? There is this particular image that we've used when it comes to all mobilizations that we are doing towards the fundraiser. And it's this magnificent, nice-looking sanctuary. Have you seen it? Don't you like it? Wouldn't you want for us one day to have that, to actually have it here and be able to see it? Yet now we live in a tent. Praise the Lord. But the Bible encourages us and tells us, do not despise humble beginnings. This is just but a starting point. But the place that God is taking us, amen? The place that God is taking us is in a place where he has destined for us to be able to settle and shine in the land. Amen? And in this case, we are talking about Karen. Praise the name of Jesus. And eventually, the house of the Lord is completed and it is dedicated to the Lord in Ezra chapter 6 from verse 13 to verse 15. And of course, as they commonly say nowadays, Haggai and Zechariah, as they were talking to Zerubbabel, haikuwa story ajaba. Tell your neighbor, haikuwa story ajaba. It was the word of the Lord. Amen? And so, the temple has been completed and it is being dedicated to the Lord. This is the interesting bit also. We've talked about encouragers. Do you know they are also discouragers? When these people were dedicating the temple of the Lord, the Bible says from verse 14, so the elders, the Jews, build the temple and prosper under the preaching of Haggai and Zechariah. These were the encouragers and the descendants of Edo. They finished building the temple according to the command of God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, the kings of Persia. The temple was completed on the third day of the month of Adar in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Praise the name of Jesus. The interesting bit is, when this temple was being dedicated to the Lord, the Bible describes that people were shouting for joy. Oh, wait until you saw the old men. The old men were in tears. And do you know why? They were saying, sasa mmejenga nini? Aki mungekuwa mmeona ile temple ambaye Solomon alikuwa mejenga. Hii si kitu. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. If you only saw the temple of Solomon, that was covered with gold. If you only saw,
But now, what I found amazing about that scripture, it says that but their cries were overcome by the shouts of joy by the rest of the people. Praise the name of Jesus. I pray that as we'll be arising to this place, there are those people who have ridiculed us. Amen? There are those people who have made fun of us. Oh, mmekuja Karen, okay. Tutaonana. Yeah? Those people that have decided to make those kinds of stands, do you know what? We will be in this same place celebrating the Lord's doing. Praise the name of Jesus. And finally, that it's important that I mention that records are very, very important. Tell your neighbor records. In Ezra chapter 5 verse 17, what actually happened is for the temple of God to be stopped. There is a king who was told, you know, these people will, once they have a temple and they'll be worshipping their God, they will rebel against you. But they still decided to continue building. When they went and they were told, but we've been given a letter saying you should stop building. They said, but no, we were given a letter by the other king saying that we should actually continue building. So these guys wrote a letter to King Artaxerxes and they write to them to confirm whether there were ever such a letter that was ever issued. And in chapter 6 verse 13, the king responds and says, indeed there was a letter that was issued. Wachaneni na watu wafanya nini? Wajenge. Praise the name of Jesus. I've remembered one time while serving in the CU at the university. At one point there was a huge accommodation crisis. And the Christian Union had been given an office. And this particular office, we were asked to vacate it so that we can allow people to have accommodation in that room. And do you know what we did? In digging up files, we found this particular letter that was written by the now late president, second president of Kenya, President Daniel Toroitich Arap Moi. And he's the one, after the choir, the CU choir performed in a very nice way, he wrote a letter saying, "Now watu wapewe ofisi." Yeah, I know for some of you of the old generation, you know how he used to do things. He would go on the road and make roadside declarations, and so it was as he said. Akisema kutoka hapa mpaka mahali macho inafika hiyo shamba ni ya DCN, that shall be the case. Praise the name of Jesus. So that is what happened. But when we came across this letter and we went with it to the administration, who signed it? It is the president. You cannot overturn what the president has already decreed. It is as equal and as good as the law. Praise the name of Jesus. And that's how we were able to restore our office. Praise the name of Jesus. So are there records that you have somewhere of what you're doing in the Lord's house? Please keep those records well. Amen. And finally, this is the second last mandate. The establishment of the law of the Lord and in teaching it. And we are talking about Ezra. Ezra. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10, the Bible says, "For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and the observance of the law of the Lord and teaching it, and to teach it, and to teaching it its decrees and laws in Israel." There are some of us that have been given the mandate to study God's word, that we may come and teach it. Praise the name of Jesus. I don't know whether I'm one of them, but I pray if you are there, and the Lord has given you understanding in the word of God, may we find the place to be able to teach that same word to others so that they may benefit. Praise the name of Jesus. May we find the place to also share the same word, whether it is in our cell groups, in our home fellowships. I pray that may we be able to teach that same word to others so that it may encourage them. Praise the name of Jesus. The amazing thing is, this Ezra that we are saying his mandate was establishing the law of the Lord and teaching it, even the king recognized him as the teacher of the law of the Lord. In Ezra chapter 7 verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, it's the king writing a letter to Ezra, and he says, "This is a copy of the letter King Artaxerxes had given to Ezra the priest, a teacher of the law, a man learned in matters concerning the commands and the decrees of the Lord of Israel." And verse 12 says, a Texas king of kings, to Ezra, the priest, the teacher of the law of God of the heavens. If you get to a place where the skill, that particular gift that God has given you, to the extent that the president would actually recognize that indeed you are ABC. Praise the name of Jesus, that you are ABC. Umefika. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Many of us, there are many things that we are doing in the Lord's kingdom, but people will not recognize. It will not even be noticed. Please do not tire. Praise the name of Jesus. You might have come here early and wiped the seats. We might not notice. Si tutafanya tu hivi kitu tuone, ana, by the way, leo kumepanguzwa. But the records that are in heaven, praise the name of Jesus, the records that are in heaven have no error. Tell your neighbor, the records of heaven have no error. Whatever it is that you're doing in the Lord's house, the Lord sees it. We might not give an award to recognize what you're doing, but the Lord sees. Praise the name of Jesus. And then the last mandate is the reestablishment of worship, priesthood, and order. Reestablishment of worship, priesthood, and order. And this was done by Malachi. Many of us, of course, know the scripture that has been mentioned, and of course, unfortunately, many men of God are misusing this. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Even without opening your Bible, you know what it says. Sindio? Yes? You know what it says. What does it say? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be no room enough to store it. The thing is, when these guys settled back from exile, they even forgot about the Lord. You remember they were building very nice houses? Ah, they went back. They started doing, you know, gardens and orchards of fruits. But lo and behold, as much as they applied all agricultural technologies that they could not get enough. And they were wondering what is wrong. I'm personally an agriculturalist. I'm an agronomist. That's my area of training. And they could find there is nothing. And so Malachi has been sent by God, and he gives these people the message that, you know what? You guys have robbed me. Washindo, ah, sisi. Tupore mungu. Aje. And he tells them, it is in tithes, it is in fast fruits, and all these other things. Nehemiah and Ezra were able to establish the house of the Lord. But the house of God did not have supplies. The kings gave orders that the treasuries of the kings of Babylon should finance the construction of the wall and also the construction of the temple of God. But the priesthood, the Levites who left what they were doing to go and serve in the Lord's house, they had nothing to eat. And so God sends Malachi with this message to the people of God that, you know, people are even saying, what benefit is it even serving God? There is no difference between me and someone who is in the world. And the Bible says, and the heavens heard, and it was recorded. Praise the name of Jesus. Verse 7 of that scripture says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how have we turned away? Praise the name of Jesus. And the Lord, of course, responds, and he says, it is in tithes and offerings. The biggest question that most people usually ask, do I tithe on my net or do I tithe on my gross? I one time attended someone was teaching on the issues of giving and tithing. And of course, today it has become a hot issue. And most people will tell you, you know, that's a teaching of the Old Testament. There is nowhere where Jesus talks about tithes. There is nowhere where in the early church they talk about tithes. Yeah? It's a requirement of the law. But lo and behold, even before the law was established, Abraham was the very first one to give his first tithe. He went, overcame in war, and everything that he got, all this, the plunder that he got from this war, 10% of it, he gave it to the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. I don't know whether you were there and you would want to argue with God whether should I not? This is how the speaker responded to the question. He asked, do you want net blessings or do you want gross blessings? Are you faithful in giving to the Lord's house? Are we faithful in giving to the Lord's house? Whether it is in tithes, whether it is in those offerings, are we faithful in giving to the Lord's house? In conclusion, my brothers and sisters, this is a call to action to all of us that would approach the throne of grace, that would ask God, Lord, what is the mandate that you've given to me? We've talked about Ezra, we've talked about Malachi, we've talked about Nehemiah who built the walls, we've talked about Zerubbabel who built the house of God, Ezra established the law of the Lord, you know, Malachi reestablished order. All these people that we are talking about, Daniel restored the people from exile. I want you to ask God, what is the mandate that you've given to me in your house? And this is the scripture that I'll read, which is the last one, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 4 to 11. I'd like you to just reflect on that word. There is so much to be done in the house of the Lord. What is it that you've taken and, you know, committed yourself that this is what I'm going to do? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, there are different kind of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. A spiritual gift is given to us so we can help each other. Verse 8, to one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, and to another the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and yet another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. You've listened to this message this morning. Our Father is the God of spirits. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. Would you ask Him, Lord, what do you want me to do in your house? Let us bow our heads. Just whisper to God this prayer. Lord, what do you want me to do in your house? Let us arise on our feet. Lord, what do you want me to do in your house? Lord, what do you want me to do in your house? What mandate, Lord, have you given me that I may be able to serve your people in the house? Lord, which mandate, which responsibility, which gift is this that through your Spirit you've given to me that I may minister to the house of God? Just speak to God. Ask Him, Lord, help me to discover the mandate that you have given to me. Thank you, Jesus. We give you worship. We give you glory, Lord, for there is no one else like you. Lord, I pray as you seek for encouragers that I shall be one of them. Lord, I pray that as you Seek, O God, that those that will pray on and stand in the gap, O Father, for our nation, that I shall be one of them, Lord. I pray, Jesus, the Lord, even in the understanding of Scripture, Lord, by your Spirit, I pray that I shall be among the number that shall be counted, O God. I pray, may you help me, Lord, to identify the mandate that you have given to me, Lord, to run in your house, in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, and I give you praise. I want to give an opportunity this morning to someone who may be here and you've not given your life to Jesus. We might be here talking about mandates, and yet yourself, you don't even have a personal relationship with this God that we are talking about. The same God that we are saying he can never change. The same God who says he loves his people, yet he sends them into exile. You've been living in exile out of God's presence. And there is an opportunity and an invitation for you this morning, this afternoon, that you may come and receive the Lord. If you are here and you'd like to give your life to Christ, kindly raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. If you are here and you'd like to give your life to Christ, kindly raise your hand. The Lord needs you in his house. The Lord needs you. His kingdom is not full. No, there is still space for one more. I'll ask someone to go and stand just beside our brother as he makes this confession prayer. I'll ask one of the, maybe Deacon Anthony, you can stand together with him. Thank you for making this critical decision. I'll ask that you make this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus. Church, let's help him in praying to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I come before you this afternoon. I am a sinner. I confess my sins that you may forgive me. Cleanse me that I may be counted among your own. That, Lord, when you are giving mandates to others, I shall be among them. Forgive my sins and write my name in the Lamb's book of life. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for our brother, Lord, who has made a decision this afternoon to give his life unto you. I pray as he begins this new journey, that Jehovah God, you'll sustain him in salvation, that God of glory, you'll walk together with him, that Lord of Father, together with us, Lord, we shall encourage him, O God, that as he starts this new journey, O God of glory, he shall be filled with your Spirit, O God of glory. This Spirit that gives different gifts, O God, I pray that he shall walk with him, O God, unto salvation, unto the renewal of mind, for he is now a new creature in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the church and for the time that they have sat to listen to your word. I pray, Jehovah God, for blessing over each and every one of them. That, Lord, even as they leave this place, that, oh Father, they shall not remain the same again. Everything that they shall do in this week, Lord, it shall have success. Lord, that they will be led by you. In Jesus' name I pray. Allow me to lead the benedictions, and it comes from Psalms chapter 20. You can raise your hands as I say this prayer. Psalms chapter 20 from verse 1 to 5. And the Bible says, and you shall say amen. Amen. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift our banners in the name of our God. Just put your hands together and appreciate the Lord. God bless you so much. I wish you a wonderful week. You can hold the hand of your neighbor and share in the words of grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you.